gloom, doom, and voting.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for February 13th, 2017. I'm Jeanine Faddish, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stanton.
Thank you, Jeanine, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. The reason I'm laughing is because we have to get out of here quickly, and so Jeanine's talking really, really fast.
I was?
You were a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
She dragged out the Scott, though, like a
I did, like,
outfit.
She did. What?
Yeah.
That was nice.
The other voice you're hearing, of course, is Craig Collins, who is our producer here at WGN Plus Radio. Is it WGN Plus still, right?
It's WGNRadio.com, a WGN Plus podcast.
Boy, I can't wait for that T-shirt.
WGN Plus tab on WGNRadio.com.
Okay.
Something like that.
Do y'all get that out there? Because there'll be there will be a test. I was told there'd be no math. This sucks. Anyway, so this week in Prickly, so let's get down to it really fast.
Okay,
so this week in Prickly City, the Sunday says you don't know unless you try, and it's Winslow trying to fly. It's been a theme throughout the strip for years now, for the 11-year.
It's one of your shticks.
It's one of the shticks, yeah. You can always tell when I don't have ideas. Let's see if you can fly. And so anyway, so the joke is you don't know unless you try, and sometimes you do. And so, because he crumbles to the earth. Anyway, so the week goes something like this. This is Welcome to the World of Alternate Facts. And sadly, that's where we are now.
Yes, we are.
It's weird. I don't know what to do with it. But having grown up, effectively grown up in the newspaper business, trying to deal with facts and so on. I mean, I know these people work hard and try to get everything right. And to question everything they come out with is preposterous. Anyway, so the week progresses. They aren't entitled to. It's I think it was Daniel Patrick Moynihan who said you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts.
Correct. It was Dad.
Was it?
Yes, it was
Daniel Patrick Moynihan.
Someone actually commented. William had wrote in saying that he actually had looked up that quote that day and then read your strip. He just happened to come across.
Oh,
it.
How
I'm
funny!
Like, whoa.
Yeah, it's a great quote, and it's more relevant now than ever before. And, you know, I was watching the Talking Head shows this weekend and just shaking my head. And this is a segue into actually the bigger discussion we're going to have in a minute. But to run through the week, you're insane if you don't think we're doomed, which I just kind of just love that line. I don't know why it made me giggle, but it does. I don't care what you say. I know what you mean. This is something that's been going on in my career for, and I've been doing this job for almost 37, 38, a lot of years. Let's just say a lot, shall we, Craig?
Sure.
Okay. It's a lot of years. And what's interesting to me is back when I started, it was rare when you had people say, you know, I know what you meant. When, you know, I know what I meant. I did the damn thing. I mean, I really do know what was in my head. But now we're in an era where I don't care what you say. I know what you meant. And I think that dovetails into the idea of, or at least the environment we're in now, where, you know, you're not just wrong. I can't just disagree with you. I question your motives. I question your integrity. I question that, you know, you may be on the left. I tend to come from the right. You come from the left. My position now has to be you want to destroy the country, period. You can't love America. You hate the country, and you want all white men obliterated from the face of the planet.
We actually had some good friends who were visiting us this weekend who directed us to Mark Rubio's speech, which basically addressed that same thing.
Yeah, he sounded like the Mark Rubio I thought would be a good presidential candidate until he started making fun of Donald Trump's hand size. Yeah, it was a great speech because it was right on the heels. The same day, right? The same afternoon or that evening following when they censured or whatever the hell they called it against Senator Warren. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was going to get there.
You know, I'm never sure. I just like to ease you on sometimes.
Thank you.
You do make a really good point, though, Scott, about how any of these conversations now become one side is trying to destroy the country. Every time I have this conversation, even with my friends, it gets so hostile so quickly because to be of an opposing political view means to almost be some sort of dangerous person.
But to be fair, you do want to destroy the country.
You personally. True. That's different, though, and we talked about that. Let's keep that off the podcast, Scott. I'll get in trouble. But no, it's so interesting. I admitted nothing here. This is not proof of anything. It's so interesting that you can't even have a conversation with anyone that lasts more than, say, 2 minutes. And before it turns into, well, that point is dangerous and you're dangerous. And
yes, and I know what you mean.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know what you mean.
And I've had this conversation with readers for years, of news, obviously being a newspaper cartoonist, and they were called. And I'll say, no, well, actually what that meant was, I know what you meant. Okay.
Yeah. It's very scary.
So anyway, that's...
And we have a few comments that kind of...
okay, let's hear them.
I'm going to read these comments because they're connected. Phyllis writes and says, I'm enjoying your recent strips. Thanks for keeping a watch over Trump and his greedy minions. However, Richard says, another good strip ruined by liberal hissy fits. Bye. An ionizer comes in and says, if you only listen to people who agree with you, you'll miss at least half of the discussion. Stick around. At the least, you'll learn more about the opposing views.
Oh, that's nice.
Rational.
And that's what you should do. I read my reading list in the morning. It consists of things like Daily Kos, as well as Real Clear Politics, as well as National Review. I mean, it runs the gamut because you want to hear what both sides have to say. And, you know, do they have a point? Sometimes they do. You know, blind hog. Acorn, some kind of analogy there, right? Let's just go with the pigs and acorns.
The blind hog gets the acorn. I've heard that before, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's blind hog. So thank you. Richard, you know, to call me a liberal is preposterous. I mean, if you know, I worked on Richard Nixon's campaign. I mentioned this before. Worked on Richard Nixon's campaign. I worked on Ford's campaign. I worked on both of Reagan's campaigns. What?
I'm just saying, I think that if people were reading your strip just right now, just that you're criticizing Trump so much, that they would probably think that. Yes.
Well, but...
Because you're just reading a small portion.
Right. If you're a real Republican and believed in the rule of law, then I would be all for him. Sadly, that's not doesn't seem to be the waters we're navigating into. So, anyway, so in the weekends, if you know you're the only sane one, does that mean you're crazy? Which may or may not. And I like the sunrise. I actually have a sunrise gag coming up that I thought was very funny. Do I say it now or do I wait till it's published?
Why don't you just wait till it's published?
Okay, so
read some more.
Wait for it. Let's read more comments. Comments.
So Jack writes, in PC, you have been critical of Democrats in the White House for years. This year, you finally got control of all branches of the federal government.
Me personally.
You personally, and I thought I would see a change in your attitude. No, you still bitch about our government. Your strip is depressing. There is nothing redeeming about Prickly City, nothing but gloom and doom.
Now, who is this?
This is Jack.
Jack, you know, actually, I have to admit, and this dovetails into something I wanted to touch on today, and a bigger subject on writing and writing my comic strip, and that is that I think Jack has a point, to a point. I think there's a lot to be depressed about right now, but... I just finished a week. It's coming up in about 2.5 weeks, right? Sure. Let's go. That holds together. I never know where my deadlines are. I just write stuff. But she effectively says that and says, you know, I'm going to break that pattern. I'm just going to stop now. And I'm going to actually be proactive and forward thinking. And how can we, you know, it's going to be fight. But I have to admit, since the election, I've been depressed. I don't know that I'm alone. And, you know, you quoted the Marco Rubio speech. And I was just like, that would be great. If that was coming from the White House, that would be awesome. You know, some kind of sense of, you know, we're all in this together. We're all Americans. We're going to fight. We're going to argue. We're going to scrap. It's what we do. That's great. That's how democracies work. But where we are right now isn't in that place. And that depresses me greatly. And I think that, you know, the strip is autobiographical. You write 365 of these things a year. They're going to reflect what you're thinking and the kind of person you are. I'm over the shock. I'm over the, you know, I'm over the depression. Now it's time to think, okay, proactively, what do we do going forward, and what are some of the answers? Are there creative answers? Are there creative ways to approach these issues now? And we're going to try to explore those. So, Jack, you're right. I don't apologize, but I am going to try to be happier. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, so we also have a listener, Dami, as a listener of the podcast.
Oh, hey, Dami.
And would like to say that you commented on the last week's show about Trump acting like a 3-year-old, but yet he sounds like you and so many other people who are calling him names. He seems to be a reflection of the no thoughtful discourse, only name calling will do crowd. Perhaps that is what upsets people, is that he is a reflection of their poor verbal behavior.
Wow. That's actually something worth thinking about. I don't know that I'm going to do it because that's my way of mental thinking is to just stare into space slack-jawed. So that makes not very scintillating podcasting. But Dami, I'm going to think about that, and we'll talk about it next week. I think that's a great point. I do. Has the culture become so coarse? I mean, editorial cartooning. I mean, used to be unique. We were kind of the smart asses in the room, right? Well, now everyone's a smart ass. That's the whole, you know, that's the whole discourse.
Well, the editorial cartoons kind of tried to be more extreme to get you to think, but now everyone is extreme.
Right. and smartass, snarky, and you know, the whole tools that we used, and now everyone uses them. So it has kind of marginalized editorial cartooning, I think. So, Dami, thanks for that. Yeah, you've given me something to think about and something to talk about next week. Any more comments?
There was one about the alternative facts. Is FBJSR would like to point out that people are saying that the majority of Americans voted for Hillary. And he says that is not true because there are basically, because it's really long, there are 326 million people in the U.S. and Hillary got 666 million votes, which is only like around 20%, not even close to, because most Americans didn't vote.
Which raises the question of mandatory voting. Should we have it? I mean,
I think so.
Yeah. Well, he was actually talking about, people were also saying that Hillary won the popular vote, but we don't do popular voting here. It's not really considered a popular vote unless you know that it's going to be.
Not just that, she
vote.
Did not get 50% plus one, so she didn't get a majority
also,
of even the
don't
votes
vote.
Cast.
If you live in a state that is blue and you're red, you figure, why bother? A lot of people just didn't even turn out, and vice versa. If you live in a red state and you're a blue voter, you're not going to bother voting because your vote really isn't going to count.
Yeah.
That way.
So mandatory voting, I kind of like, you know, it runs very contrary to my libertarian kind of, it does.
Well, what he's saying is that you either are going to go with the Electoral College or you just have a real popular vote.
And in which case,
actually,
then should
every
you,
vote counts.
Should you charge people a fine if they don't vote? They do this in Australia. They do it in a number of countries. It's a higher fine, the more important the election. If it's a national election, you don't vote. It's, I don't know, $50, let's say. And if it's a municipality, then it's $20. But you could find if you don't vote. So they have a 98% plus turnout every election. And the results are that they get a moderate, middle-of-the-road kind of governance. Sometimes it goes a little left. Sometimes it goes a little right. I don't know. That's another thing to consider. A lot to consider.
Yes, sir. I learned a lot from this podcast.
Yeah, I could be an editorial writer.
Yeah, this was nice.
It remains to be seen, and we shall see.
Find them all, make them all vote. I say yes.
Yes. Find them all?
Find them all.
Oh, I thought you said find them. That sounds, good
that
lord.
That sounds intense, yeah.
They kick down the door. It's a weird kind of spin on that whole Nazi thing. You will vote. Here's your ballot.
I'm just coming up with the ideas. You guys work them out. I'm just throwing it
you
out
must
there.
Here's the referendum on the water board vote. Now!
That sounds intense. That sounds great.
That's the America I want to live in. I don't know about you. Hey, listen, if you want to follow the goings-ons of Carmen and Winslow, you can go to gocomics.com/prickly city. If you want to write us a note and leave a comment, and obviously we'll look them over, and Janine particularly looks them over.
I will read them.
She will read them, and if she deigns them worthy... Sure, we'll read them. We read a lot of them.
All of them.
Do we? Not all of them.
Every single comment. Yes.
No, we don't.
Well, you don't. I read every single comment.
Oh, you read every
single
comment. I don't read.
Yes.
We don't hear them on the show.
No, because that would take a very long time.
Okay. If you want to contact us directly, you can email us at pricklycity@gmail.com. Craig, thanks again.
Sure.
And WGN Radio. WGN Radio at...
WGNRadio.com, a WGN Plus podcast.
/Prickly City.
/ news and politics. It's all out there.
Just subscribe through iTunes, which was probably the easiest of all.
Yeah, that's a better call.
So, Janine, thank you.
You're welcome.
For doing all the work and helping me out again. And for all of you, if I don't talk to you before, then we'll see you in the funny papers.